Wow, that's powerful. Amazing, isn't it? Nice to be amongst the people of God. And it's nice to be gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus alone. I have a different subject. I have never heard anybody on it. And yet I've spoke about it. And we're going to read it today. First of all, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We have heard much about the person of Christ, about the place, and about the principles. We have an enemy, and I want to speak about the enemy of the person of Christ, the enemy of the place of the assembly of God, and the enemy that is against the principles, all the principles of humanity, really, what God made us for. And we've heard that. Man made male and female. The world like to mix it up. And they haven't got it mixed up. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And who else would answer? And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." We've been hearing about that. Not just God. There are gods. But he is the Son of a living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Verse 18. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." That's what we've been hearing. The building of the church of God. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against that." It's working against that, not prevail. Verse 21. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed. And he raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man." Now, I'm going to read other scriptures. But God is building his church. But there is opposition to the building of the church of God. There is great opposition. When God created humanity and put humanity in the garden, Adam and Eve, there was a great opposer as he watched Adam and Eve in the garden. And he understood why God had made Adam and Eve. And he knew what was going to happen through Adam and Eve. And he was an opposer of the human race. When it comes to the building here, the appearing of the Lord Jesus upon earth, we realize that there is a great opposer. There is one who understood what Jesus was going to do. Satan knew exactly who he was, and he knew exactly what he was going to do, and he was an opposer. Now, we have heard some tremendous truth. We've heard some tremendous truth of the person of Christ. We've heard tremendous truth of the assembly of God. We've heard tremendous truth of principles that God has laid in Holy Scripture. Why is it that it is so hard to carry out these principles and this truth and appreciate the Savior and all the rest? It's because of this enemy. Let us look in John chapter 13. John and chapter 13. John 13 and verse number 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, looking on Jesus, leaning on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I will give a sup when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Verse 27. And after the sup, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou dost do. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians brings before us the armor in which we are to wear. And I've been thinking that, why is it that God stresses that we're to wear that armor? We are in a warfare. When it comes to the warfare, we've been in the Ukraine, and a number of days we heard bombers fly over above the clouds. We couldn't see them, but we knew that they were bombers. And it's not just a nice feeling in your stomach when you realize that there's bombers flying overhead. But then when we came into Warsaw, Poland, and we're taxiing out of Warsaw, Poland, and you look along the runway, and there's U.S. bombers, the U.S. planes that are in Warsaw, Poland, and you realize that we're in a country that is torn by war, and there's a possibility of a greater warfare. The assemblies, the truth of God, humanity has always been under fire by Satan. And we're living in the very last of the last days. And if there is ever a time when the assemblies is under fire and under target, is right now. Humanity and the truth of the local assembly and the truth of gathering to his name and the principles that God has laid in scripture and is right from the enemy himself, Satan. It's no good for us to just think that we can manage this great enemy ourselves. There's no good for us to think that the enemy is not dear. It is dear. The enemy is dear, and the fallen angels with Satan is dear. And there's no good for us to think that, it's going to be an easy flight, and everything is going to go all right, and we're going to land in heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. But as a boy of 16, there's been a few crash flights or a few stormy days since 16, and now we're 60. And we realize that the enemy is real, genuinely real, and we're facing an enemy that we're no match for. We're no match for this big enemy. We're no match for the enemy that is actually against God. That's no favor of the things of God, it says. And if you read in Revelation, the book of Revelation is one of the books that mentions Satan the most. And it's right in the churches. The churches of Asia, as you read them, you'll find the word Satan and what Satan is doing in the churches right at the very beginning when the Lord Jesus sent his out to disciples and saw the first churches and assemblies formed throughout Asia. And the enemy was real. And the enemy is no less real today. One of my series that I had, the only series I had with Mr. Bill Bingham, I was looking forward to the series with Mr. Bill Bingham, a powerful evangelist. As a wee boy and just getting saved, we heard him many times in some powerful meetings in Labrador when this man preached with other evangelists and saw dozens and sometimes 30 and 40 souls saved at a time, a powerful evangelist with God. I was looking forward to these meetings tremendously. Remember it very clearly in my mind. The very first night, and I mentioned this to somebody today, the very first night Mr. Bingham come down Sunday night, he came down to the back and shook my hand, and there was a funny look on his face. I looked at him. He says, Eric, I had no help tonight in preaching. I was all right. We went, did our thing, and Monday night he preached, and at the back of the meeting he had a deeper look. It was a far greater look. As he looked at me and he says, Eric, I really mean it. I had no power in preaching. Tuesday night, his desperation, the look on his face, I can still remember very clearly. He says, something is desperately wrong. Desperately wrong. I have no help in preaching. And, you know, I was sweating jelly beans. Wednesday night, he came down, and it was getting worse. He came down and he says, I'm about ready to pack my bags because I have no help. Something is desperately wrong. Thursday morning, I picked him up, and we always picked him up just after dinner, just after 12, and he always would say, Tim Hortons. And we always went to Tim Hortons before we did anything. But when he got in the van, he says, I heard the news, and I know the trouble. If I'd have knew the trouble, I would have never come here. I would have never been here. I says, I was only young. I said to Mr. Bingham, just slow down, slow down. Maybe the Lord wanted you here. Maybe, really, maybe the Lord wanted you here. And that's why you're here. He says, but I have no help in preaching. I says, all I can tell you is keep preaching if you know you have no help. But you know what? In the midst of that, a little wee girl, she just got married this summer. A wee girl got saved. And she wrote a little note and she passed it to Mr. Bingham. And Mr. Bingham read it, and read it to me. And the little girl says, you know, I got saved tonight in the meeting, and it was when you was preaching. But Satan is real. Satan is really real. The center of the trouble was a friend of mine, and I can only say that the enemy worked overtime far greater. In fact, it was so great. I made trips into Russia, and I've been into enemy territory, satanic enemy territory. I've been in a large audience, and you couldn't speak at all. Nobody would believe that. You couldn't say one word. You just had to get out of the place and run. Satanic powers. I preached one night in a large building, and it was a large crowd. During the day, we had posters put up, and my interpreter said to me, you know that tonight, at the very same time you're preaching in the very same building, there's a meeting also, and it's dealing with satanic powers, a movie on satanic powers. I says, let's go home and pray. We're going to have special help tonight. Special help tonight. And in the midst of the preaching, when I was preaching all alone, there was an interpreter that was with me and a prisoner that got out of a prison who got saved in prison. He wanted to go to his village. And I was there. 2 hours into the north. I wouldn't tell you where I was. I don't know where I was. It's just into the north of Siberia. And when I'm preaching, all the lights goes out. There's no windows. There's nothing. And it's dense dark. And I knew something was going to happen during the night, but I didn't know what was going to happen. A little pin light, that's all I had. My hand was trembling as I was preaching the gospel. And I told the people, I'll answer your questions. And if the light don't come back on, we'll have to go out with the little pin light. And all of a sudden I realized that there's four ladies standing in front of me. And they're all dressed in black. And they're asking questions about satanic powers. Satan is real. And some of us here have known that in our own families. We've seen the satanic powers work in our own families, with our own children. The changing of their appearance even sometimes will show you that you have a battle and it's against the enemy and it's real, it's genuine. None of us need to leave this conference and think that, you know, we don't have an enemy. It's a real warfare. It's a warfare against powers of evil and darkness and real powers, satanic powers. And I couldn't tell you the end of that meeting, four black ladies dressed in black that evening, and what happened. I want to put the powers is real, genuinely real. And I was thinking and I was reading, and I almost spoke about it in Hebrews. There are five places in Hebrews that brings before us that we should take heed, and the Word of God is our only hope. When it comes to satanic powers and it comes to the evil, the Savior is our only hope. We're in the power of that when we were in our sins. And if it wasn't for the Savior, there would have been no deliverance. If it wasn't for the cross work, and we've been told about make much of the cross and don't get far away from the cross. And it's only the hope of the Savior that takes us from the evil powers of darkness, Satan himself, and saves us by his grace. There is only one thing that can help us as we go along the way. It's the real light. The Scripture is our only hope. The Word of God. And we've been hearing that. Make much of the Word of God. There's a young man just recently got saved in the Ukraine, and we're quite happy for him. We have done a lot of work in his family. There's four boys, and he's the one that professed to be saved, and he's been saved for a year, and he read the New Testament twice already. He's read the New Testament twice already in a year. And he's telling me the reading of the Word of God, the chapters that he read and what he has enjoyed. And as it's our only hope for young men and women here. The only battle against this enemy, a real enemy against God, is the Word of God itself. A time, a definite time when you read the Word of God. You can't afford to battle this enemy and not have a time when you read the Word of God. For the sake of your own mind, for the sake of your own control of yourself, it's the Word of God. It's our only hope. That's the light, the only light. That little pin light that evening in the midst of the darkness, no lights and nothing. One little pin light was a hope. You know, it was a joy. I want to tell you your only hope. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The Word of God is a light unto our path and the light unto our ways. And it's the Word of God that we need to get back to. And we need not to get away from. And we need to read it. And it's our only hope, the Scripture. The Spirit of God. If you have not the Spirit of God, you're not of His. Tremendous when you think about the battle. The battle of darkness. And it's real. It's when you think about the people of Israel. Just read a verse in Chronicles. Right here in the book of Chronicles. Because the people of Israel was chosen of God and special too. And, you know, it's because they got a word from away from the Word of God. Their condition. And even their condition today, right at this very moment today, is because of where they put the Word of God. Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. What's he doing? He's provoking David to go against the Word of God. He's provoking David to ignore what God has already told him. Now listen, in the Assemblies of God and in the Maritimes especially, and in Atlantic Canada, we have had good teachers. These two men that spoke to us from the old country said they had good teachers, and that's important. We have had good teachers in this country too. And they have taught us the Word of God. And some of them sacrificed their whole life in order to bring the Word of God to us. And some of them have given their whole life in order that we would still remain and hear the Word of God. But listen, we do have an enemy. A real enemy. The man who probably was the center of the little problem that we had meetings with in with Mr. Bingham, you know, this man got away from the Lord, far away. He was a good friend of mine, did a lot for him, and we were friends in high school. I prayed for him as a boy, and he got saved from a Christian home, and we had many things in common. But you know, it was very sad as we battle against the powers of evil that took this young man away from God and wasted his life, totally wasted his life. But I'm telling you this for a number of reasons. There were times when I came home from Russia and spending time preaching or giving out the Word of God in the street that we battle against the powers of darkness. And oftentimes it started just with a telephone call from this boy. Or from our friend. And right away, the enemy began to move, began to work. And there came a time when I couldn't even call my friend. Because the powers of darkness was too great. the struggles against it. One night after I come back from Russia, and it's the third night, and I'm struggling with trying to get to sleep and struggling with the powers of darkness that followed me all the way from Russia right to the very door and in the door. And I woke up one morning in a cold sweat, and I've been dreaming, and that the enemy was saying, "I got your friend, and I'm going to get you too. You are no power over me. I will get you too." The only hope was the book himself. He's done damage in our family circle since then too. The enemy is real. Just like he entered into Judas, as that sup was given to Judas and is a real thing, Satan entered into Judas and he went out and betrayed the Lord Jesus, sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Listen, he is real, and our only hope is staying near the Savior himself. And our only hope is in this book. This is where Satan wanted David, disobey God's word. There is a danger from hearing the word of God and disobeying the word of God. I was enjoying Hebrews, and in the book of Hebrews, we find that the word of God is brought before us very clearly. And chapter 2, we're encouraged that not to neglect the word of God. That's our defense. Satan don't like the word of God. Satan don't like us standing on the word of God or quoting the word of God. But we need not to neglect the word of God, chapter 2. Chapter 3, you know our hearts, and it's sad when you see Christians, and I've seen it, Christians' heart growing hard against the word of God. Listen, let the word of God soften you. Let the word of God guide you. Come back to the word of God. If there's anything in Atlantic Canada that we need, is to make sure that we keep standing on the word of God. And challenges to oversight men. Tremendous, tremendous weight. You are responsible to guide the flock of God according to the word of God. And Satan will try you too. Satan will seek that you will step out of bounds of the word of God, and that the people of God might be looking at you, and you'll guide him away from the word of God. Very solemn when we read of kings who didn't obey the word of God and led the nation of Israel away from the word of God. It cost Israel a lot. I remember in the city where we labor in the Ukraine, it used to have 145,000 Jews. And on the outside of the Ukraine, I stood on a mass grave of 120,000 Jews whose lives was taken. Why? Turned their back upon the word of God. And listen, as assemblies of God, we have been taught the word of God, and men in their love for God and a love for the word of God has brought it to us, and they died living and standing for the word of God, and some of them are gone to heaven already. It's important that we stand on the word of God. Evil world that we look at today, it's in the evil that it is in because it turned it back upon the word of God. And it has less of the word of God in it now. Listen, we need to be very careful in assemblies of God that we don't harden ourselves against truth that has been taught to us. Our brother has been teaching. He said it was heavy. And I'm sure he had a burden, a tremendous burden on his soul as he brought before us principles that are very necessary in order that the assemblies of God will continue in fellowship with God. But the enemy is powerful, very powerful. Absolutely, we are an absolute no. We have no access to any power that will help us in this great warfare. It's only God himself. When you come to chapter 5, it says they were deaf to the word of God. You came to the conference today. I hope your ear is not deaf to God's word. We just take what we want to take. We just hear what we want to hear. We just sever out what we want to sever out, and we leave the rest behind. Listen, it's very dangerous to defy Because you come to chapter 10 and they're defying the word of God. It is very, that's what the enemy wants you to do. As young people, he wants us just to dress as we would like to and talk like we would want to talk and do what we want to do. And it all leads to immorality. It all leads to defiance of the holy word of God. And we just can't do these things and live holy lives too. We just can't come and go casually from the holy place and move into the holy of holiest of all and move out of this place and just do what we want to do and say what we want to say and live the way. No, no, no. That's what Satan wants you to do. As a boy, when I got saved, the men like Mr. Albert Ramsey and Mr. Bingham and, you know, Mr. Hull and some of these men made it very clear that, you know, living holy lives are lives that are separated from the world. You can't dabble in the world and off the world and come into the place of God and expect that you put on your Sunday suit and everything is all right. No, no, no. Our hearts are evil hearts. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world and all its power. And the flesh. What's the world and the flesh? Satan uses the world and the flesh against God. And then it's the enemy, Satan himself. Satanic powers is real. Absolutely, totally real. Number of times when I came from Russia, one time I came home and I had two fridges and a few things into it, and a fuse was blown. You might think this is a small thing, but when I walked into the house and smelled the smell coming from that after 7 weeks gone, you realize it's the enemy. And you know, you come home and you're driving up the little hill towards my hometown to go to see my mom and dad and with the family, and as you're driving up there, bolt smashes in the transmission and comes out true and has wait 45 days in order to get a transmission from Dodge. Satanic powers. And you felt them. You knew them. It's real. They're genuine. Listen, let us not go away from this conference and understand or think that, you know, it's an easy thing. We just come and go and everything is smooth. No, we have a real powerful enemy. And our only hope is God. Near the cross, near the word, spending time at the word, not missing the meetings, not just turning up on a Sunday, not just turning up at the conference, we need to understand that we need to hear the word of God and we need to learn the word of God, but we need to live the word of God. Knowing the Bible will never keep you. It's living it. Allowing God by his Holy Spirit to have you to be overcomers. I have a daughter that's away from God and far away from God. And I have a letter that she's written, and the letter was this. To her own brother, whatever you do in your marriage life, please, I know I am no expert in writing you to tell you this, but I want to tell you one thing from my heart. Don't stop reading the Word of God in your home. Don't stop reading the Word of God with your partner. Don't stop reading the Word of God with your family. It's the beginning of disaster. And listen, can I not say to you that we have a real enemy, and I've felt it many times, and I've battled against it so many times that I've cried down many times up on my knees, and I wouldn't tell you many places in the forest, on the water, in many places I fell upon my knees and says, Lord, I am absolutely surrendered to you because I have no power of my own against this powerful enemy. I need your presence and I need your help. This is the only book that can keep us near the cross. Whatever you do, don't stop reading the Word of God.